We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day, plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
Hi, I'm Kurt Angle.
I represented the United States in the Olympics in 1996 and won a gold medal. Then I parlayed that into a pro wrestling career. I saw a commercial a few years ago.
Tunnel to Towers Foundation made a promise.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is paying off the mortgages for Gold Star families with young children. I thought, this is really cool. I want to be a part of it. My dad served in the Army for 30 years. We didn't have a lot of money, but he made sure we had what we needed. He set a great example for all of us. He died in a construction accident my freshman year in high school. When he died, we didn't have any income coming in, and we ended up being forced to move out of our house. I was devastated. So I understand what these families are going through, and to have an organization like Tunnel to Towers come in and pick you up and carry you and give you a home to live in, I think that's just amazing. I'd like to ask you to donate $11 a month to support these efforts by going to t2t.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program on this Sunday, the day after the Preakness Stakes. So, yeah, we got a lot to talk about. We welcome you to the show. We come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at our studio station. You at the YouTube streaming network at YouTube at Race Day Las Vegas. Just go to YouTube, hit the search for Race Day Las Vegas, South Point Studios. Search in the search bar, put South Point Studios, then you get to our page, and then you hit the Race Day Las Vegas, and you get to our specific page, and then you can get chatting. And man, I'm telling you right now, the chat box is going crazy this morning already on YouTube. So we welcome you. We come, of course, to you from this gaming capital at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard at the South Point Studios. And, of course, on Sports Talk 1400 AM and 107.1 FM, that is our anchor radio station. I want to just make one quick note. The anchor radio station, KSHP, had problems yesterday with their computers there, so we were not on the air there the way we were supposed to be. I guess we were on and off or something. They were telling me that later. And I got a lot of feedback, both in the chat box. I got a lot of feedback with text messages, etc., and certainly on our X account as well. It was beyond our control here, and we do apologize for that. and the station profusely apologized to me and is apologizing to you. So there you have it. Technical stuff happens sometimes when we live in a technical world. That's the deal. But we're back on this morning, and so we welcome all of the listeners there running around town this morning, listening to us at KSHP. And, of course, all of the websites that we have, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world, .global, iPhone, Android, and Google phone with your apps. You get your apps at the store. You can either get your YouTube app to see and hear us, as you are now, or you can get the KSHP app, and you can listen to us through the radio station on your devices, and, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting as well. Simply put, however, wherever, whenever, welcome to the Race Day Show for this Sunday. The day after. As you can see behind me, there's Sean's got the countdown already up behind us. 20 days and counting until the Belmont Stakes. But all I got to tell you, folks, is this. There are an abundant ways of losing a race. We've all seen them. Experienced handicappers have gotten some of the worst beats in the world by either inquiries or things that happen in a race. There's a million ways of losing a race. There's only one way of winning in the race, and that's when they post the official sign on the board. Not even when you finish first. You got to get that official sign on the board. A quick note about that. Tell you about that. Many years ago, I was sitting with a friend of mine betting races at Golden Gate. I won the race, and we were waiting for it to get official. I lost the race, and the horse was disqualified well after the tractors went by because the jockey weighed out with the wrong weight, and they disqualified him for that. So when I say there's a million ways to lose a race, you know there it's true. The only way to winning a race is when they hang the official sign up. But in the same token, experienced race players and even the novice out there, when they see something so genuine, so unbelievable, so almost impossible. They see a special moment in sports, and a special moment yesterday happened in racing. It is universally recognized by the novice and by the experienced racing fan. That happened yesterday at Pimlico Racecourse in the Preakness Stakes. I can go on and on and on about the journey that journalism had. I can go on and on and on about how gutty this horse is, how much he had the determination and the heart of a champion to forge through and win the Preakness Stakes yesterday. But there are no words. There are no thousands of words that can replace you just taking a look at that replay. Take a look at the replay and watch journalism. After getting what I believe would be a term called molested at the top of the stretch, while the long shot that I liked throughout the entire week to match up with him in exactas was pulling away and had a lead of at least three lengths between the 3/16th pole and the 16th pole. And journalism bowled his way through, got clear, and for all intents and purposes, you think, what a fantastic run this horse had in finishing second. He continues to roll along and reached down into his heart and took whatever it needed to catch that horse in the shadow of the finish line. And journalism wins the Preakness Stakes in an unbelievable run, a moment in sports that, you remember our hockey team. Do you believe in miracles? This was amazing. Journalism proved not only that running against those five-horse fields in California toughened him up, I guess it did, or he's just a genuine, genuine hell of a racehorse. But he proved it yesterday in the Preakness Stakes. Journalism wins the Preakness in an unbelievable effort. And the horse that I like, the long shot Gosker, finished second. And for the all intents and purposes, you would think, watching the race, that even with journalism having all that trouble, once it got clear that Gosker was going to go on and win anyhow, and then we'd have been talking about how journalism should have won but of the incident at the top of the stretch. But we don't have to talk about that because he did it anyhow. Finishing third in the race was Sandman. Sandman loomed up about 16th of a mile out as well, but journalism kicked it in and got it done. Man, Umberto Rispoli, I'll tell you what, in the interview right after the race, while still on horseback, Rispoli, you could tell, was immensely relieved after the trip they got, that they got through. So he wins it. That's it. Case closed. Journalism wins for Mike McCarthy, one hell of a trainer, paying $4 even as the big, big favorite. He was the big favorite in that race, by the way. Was from the get-go. From the time they opened the future wagering days in advance, he was 6-5 and never really went too far either way and closed at even money, paid $4 even. Gosgar second, Sandman third. I want to give Jerry Jackowitz a high five. He came with Gosgar as his key horse to run with journalism and a few other horses up and down. So you got that reverse deal done with that. The exacta was, I thought, was anemic because Gosgar was something like 15-1. He was 19 and 20-1 for a long time, but he closed at the end at 15-1, finishing second. The dollar exacta paid $16.90. Kind of light there. But, you know, journalism was an overwhelming favorite in all the pools everywhere for the last 3 days. Rightfully so, I would say, after that win there. And so it goes. We've got journalism. We'll wait and see if he's going to go to the Belmont Stakes after that unbelievable race there. Robert LaPenta, one of the owners of journalism, kind of gave his little thoughts about watching the incident. He said he held his fingers inches apart like this and said he came close to turning away when he got caught between those horses. He said, I came close to turning away. And then I said, they got him. They got him. They jammed him. They got him. It wasn't that he wasn't the best horse. They just got the best of him. And I was worried about him getting second. And what he did and how he ran was incredible, the owner said. He went on to say this is one of the most impressive runnings of the Preakness he's ever seen. He said he had no business winning after that. It shows what a warrior he is 2 weeks after another tough race, which was in the Kentucky Derby. And so we will now wait to see if journalism tells them that he wants to move on to the Belmont Stakes, which is, as you can read, 20 days away and counting. All they said is they're going to wait, and they're going to wait until they said for sure he got the worst of it in the Preakness. And Mike McCarthy, the trainer, said, I think today you saw what it takes to be a champion. Today was his day. It certainly was. And they said they will take all the time they need to make the decision about going to the Belmont. If they do, stand by Saratoga. This Belmont's going to be off the charts because Sovereignty was back on the racetrack. He's working towards his next start, the Derby winner in the Belmont Stakes. And by the way, Kentucky Derby third by Aza, also working for his next start in the Belmont. And I got to tell you this, folks, right now, from what I've seen of Baeza so far, I would caution both journalism and his unbelievable effort yesterday and Sovereignty and his solid win at the Kentucky Derby to look out for Baeza. You get these three horses in the Belmont at Saratoga 20 days from now, and we're going to have another hell of a horse race. This is a nice crop of three-year-olds here, that's for sure. Let's take a look at what happened for the rest of the day before the Preakness at Pimlico. The track started out muddy, but it got to fast real quick. Okay, so for the most part, the track was fast and the turf course was labeled good. First race, Ired Ortiz Jr. got his first win of the day for Brittany Russell, paying $3.80. Flavian Pratt got his first win of the day for Bob Baffert in the third race, paying $3.60 with the maiden Varney. In the Maryland Sprint, by then, the track was labeled fast. The fourth race on the card, the Maryland Sprint won by Booth, for Steve Asmussen, his son Eric Asmussen riding, paying $3.80 as the favorite. They outrun Epic Ride and Celtic Contender, who finished third. And then came the fifth race. Remember, this was the last in the early pick five. Fifth race winner paid $113.20 to win. So that ignited an early pick five payoff of $23,947.60, the 50-cent pick five. The sixth race with the Skip Hat Stakes, the winner there was Zetlos Jorge Jose Ortiz's first win of the day. Steve Asmussen's second win. He came with the win in the Maryland Sprint with Booth and came back with Zetlos in the Skip Hat. So Steve Asmussen, two wins, two stakes wins there, and paid $8.40. Outrunning Striker Has Dial and one Magic Philly in the Gallarette. The winner there is Charlene's Dream, Umberto Rispoli's first win of the day for trainer Ed Moker, paying $18.20, outrunning Steer and Ocean Club. That pick five, ending in that race, paid $12,750. Then we went to the Chick Lang Stakes at six furlongs, and there Retribution wins for Irad Ortiz Jr., Sherry DeVoe's first win of the day. Irad's second win of the day, paying $20 even, outrunning Touchy and Ancient World. In the Jim McKay Turf Sprint, the ninth race on the card, the winner there was Witty, a horse that Jonathan Ardoon told us that was almost the cinch of the day yesterday at Pimlico. Was also his play at Pimlico on the show, so he got Witty home for Flavian Pratt, second win of the day, paying $7.80. Nice win there, $7.80 for Witty and Elizabeth Merriman. Finishing second in the race was Nonay Hudson, and finishing third was Determined Kingdom. The pick five that started out with $113.20 winner, followed by $8.40, $18.20, $20 even, and Woody's $7.80. That pick five for 50 cents paid $437,313.05, in case you're interested, to the final break. Man. The Sir Barton was the 10th race, and in there, Crudo went close to the pace and got the job done. John Velasquez aboard for Todd Pletcher, paying $9.40, outrunning Just a Fair Shake and Invictus. Invictus, of course, is the big favorite in that race, finishing third. In the James W. Murphy, the 11th race on the card, Reagan's Wit wins that. Rich Eng's pick on the show. That was Richie's selection yesterday on the show. Reagan's Wit was bet down from the 5-2 morning line to $3 even as the prohibitive favorite there. That was Sherry DeVoe's, by the way, second win of the day. And it was also her second stakes win of the day. It was also Jose Ortiz's second win of the day as well. $3 even there, outrunning Gold Soleil Volant. And finishing third was Twain. In the Dinner Party Stakes, the prelude to the Preakness Stakes, mile in and eighth on the turf. The winner there was Fort Washington, Junior Alvarado for Shug McGahey, paying $12 even, as outrunning Cash Quality and Desvio, who finished third in the race. And so all in all, it was a day of strategically placed huge long shots that made the pick fives astronomical. And, of course, the monster win by a very deserving journalism after... Well, let's put it this way: if he was a pedestrian on the street, the horses that molested him would have been arrested. But in any case, journalism gets the win. What a day of racing it was yesterday at Pimlico! My oh my! All righty, there was racing around the country yesterday as well. Linda Rice and Jose Lascano paired up for a couple of wins at Belmont in the third race, paying $7.90, and in the 11th and final, paying $4.10. Other winners on the day, Javi Castellano had a couple of wins. He won the first race for Greg Sacco at $3.70, won the eighth race for Kerry Breon at $8.60. Dylan Davis had a couple of winners. Dylan Davis came with his first win of the day in the seventh race for Chad Brown's second win of the day, paying $3.50. Davis came back in the ninth race for Fernando Abreu and paid $19.60. Chad Brown's first win of the day came in the fourth race with Manny Franco paying $4 even. And all in all, Ricardo Santana had a couple of wins as well. Santana got his second win of the day with Horacio De Paz's trainee, 860 in the 10th race. And he won also the 6th race, which was a Jerry J reverse play in the 6th race with Hop Singh. Hop Singh for Francisco D'Angelo paying $5.50. Jerry's key horse, his feature play, finished 2nd. So he got the reverse play home. The dollar exacta paid $5.60, but the 50-cent try, which was also reversed there, paid $43.12. That was a nice 50-cent try pay there. Pick 6 paid a little over $2,200. Santa Anita had the featured Misdirection Stakes as the final race of the day at 6.5 furlongs down the hillside turf course. The winner there was Lunar Impact, Hector Barrios, again on the turf. Barrios wins for Dan Blacker. Lunar Impact paid $7 even, outrunning Uncorked and Benghazi, who finished third. And earlier in the day, Barrios came in the eighth race for Hector Palma, paying $4.60, and that race was also on the turf. This guy's becoming a turf king there at Santa Anita. Jerry J. came with a horse for us yesterday. His feature play, High Plains Drifter, closed at 25-1. The horse finished third, but he was beaten less, just about a half a length for the entire race. He came closing at the end and just missed getting into the exacta or the win completely. A nice call for High Plains Drifter, who would definitely outrun his odds. He was only a half length off the win there. The win came by a Titanic Thompson for Steve Maiotti, paying $7.20. Pick 6 got a carryover. San Anita, they didn't have it yesterday. 5 out of 6 paid $701, so they got a carryover in the Pick 6 at Santa Anita. Churchill Downs, a lot of guys had a couple of wins. Well, Frankie Dettori won the first race for Joe Sharp's first win, paying $18. Dettori came back in the 11th and final race for Peter Urton and paid $3.68. Joe Sharp got his second winner in the third race with Jaime Torres, paying $7.96. Luan Machado had a couple of wins. His first came in the fourth race. And Mike Maker's first win as well, paying $10.92. Maker came back immediately in the fifth race with Gabriel Saez to win and pay $7.18. Machado came back in the sixth race for his second win for Eddie Keneally, paying $10.62. But the riding star of the day was Brian Hernandez. He won 3. His first race came in the 7th for Paul McGee, paying $10.98. Came back in the 8th for Kenny McPeak's first win of 2 on the day, paying $3.88. And then came back in the 10th race for his third win of the day and McPeak's second win of the day. So they teamed up for 2 wins on the card yesterday, paying $9 even. And the feature race, the Louisville, won by Yura Beach. Or I should say Utah Beach. Utah Beach for with Vincent Chaminade paid $8.44 for Inglesio Correos. Finishing 2nd was Verstappen, and 3rd was Missed the Cut. A recap of what happened yesterday around the country. But no doubt about it, the race of the day, the race of the year, probably, and certainly so far, was journalism's win in the Preakness. Enough said there. We got a lot to do today. We're going to recap with our handicappers, get their first impressions as well. We got Jonathan Ardoon, Rich Eng, John Lindo, and Jerry J with us. And yes, Virginia, there is racing after the Preakness, and it is today. We'll get you your menu as well right after this. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes 2 XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
Great, 64 degrees outside right now. We're going to get up to 84. Just an absolute perfect day. No wind now. The wind is all passed from yesterday. Now it's nice and beautiful. The sun is shining here in Vegas, and it's always fast, firm, and perfect in the book anyway. But it'll be a pleasant drive to the book for you today here in Las Vegas. As far as the rest of the country, Miami 87, New York City 76, Chicago 60 degrees, Southern California 72 degrees for that carryover at Santa Anita today. Phoenix, Arizona, 88 degrees. Hot spot in the nation, though, is Brownsville, Texas, 94 degrees there. And as far as any of the precipitation around the country, well, there's a little bit here and there around the country, but I can tell you this, that for the most of the racing centers, it'll be fine today. And now we'll get to your racing menu for today. As we always remind you, first post times are Pacific. If you're not here in Las Vegas playing the races with us, a great crowd we had yesterday, too. A lot of fun. We had a gentleman and his wife from New York, that were out here playing the races at the South Point. They said they watch and listen to us every day, so I want to say hi to you out there. We enjoyed you being here today at the South Point. And they said, we were right. South Point really loves horse players, sir. He was right, too. So we like our gentleman from New York. Anyhow, we know that you're all in different time zones, so whatever time zone you're in, adjust to the Pacific time zone and to get the right time zone for your particular part of the country so you don't miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad, okay? First post times are Pacific, adjust it to the whatever time zone you're in. We begin with Churchill Downs. Churchill Downs has 9 races today. Their first post time is at 9:45 at Churchill Downs, and Churchill Downs pick 6 jackpot carryover, $7,731 after, of course, big hit, yesterday, I think it was. All right, Gulfstream Park is next. Their rainbow pick 6 jackpot carryover at Gulfstream Park stands at $104,140. 9 races today at Gulfstream and a first post time of 9:50. Next comes Monmouth Park from the shores of New Jersey. 9 races. The feature race is the John J. Riley. That'll be the 7th on the card. 9 races today at Monmouth Park, and a first post time at Monmouth today is set at 9:50 at Monmouth today. All right, next up comes Woodbine, north of the border. Their feature race today is the $100,000 King Corey Stakes. It's the 8th race on the card at 7 furlongs for 3-year-olds. 9-5 favorite there is Thundering. First post time at Woodbine for their 10 races is set at 10:05. They got a super high 5 carryover at Woodbine, $40,576. And the super high 5 jackpot carryover at Woodbine today. First post time, 10:05. Then we go to Belmont at Aqueduct. Belmont at Aqueduct today. And as far as the racing conditions are, I'm figuring it's going to be a nice day out there at Belmont at Aqueduct. A beautiful day of racing there at Belmont at Aqueduct. 9 races today. No stakes races, but the first post time is 10:10. 10:10 at Belmont at Aqueduct today. Hawthorne Racecourse. They've got a small carryover at Hawthorne. It's in their pick 6. $1,274 there for their pick 6 carryover at Hawthorne. 8 races. The third chance stakes is the 5th on the card. First post time at Hawthorne is set at 12:40. Then we get to Santa Anita with their pick 6 carryover today. A regular pick 6 carryover at Santa Anita of $45,807. $45,807 in the regular pick 6 carryover at Santa Anita. They got 10 races. Their feature race today comes early. It's the 4th race on the card of 10. It's the Honeymoon Stakes for 3-year-old fillies at 1 1/8 on the turf. A field of 6 before scratches. Favoritism will be between Jungle Peace at 6-5 on the morning line, and As Catch Can at 2-1 on the morning line. First post time at Santa Anita is at 1 o'clock this afternoon. The Pick 6 with the carryover starts in the fifth race today at Santa Anita. Emerald Downs is next. Emerald Downs has a first post time of 1:50 for their 9 races. Prairie Meadows has 7 races, their first post time with a Pick 5 jackpot carryover of $7,755 is set at 2 p.m. for their 7 races at Prairie Meadows. And then, of course, we wrap it up with Los Alamitos. Los Alamitos on Sundays has a Pick 6 guarantee of a pool of at least $10,000. So they are seeding the Pick 6 pool today at Los Alamitos. It's already 10 grand sitting there before you bet into it today. Their first post time at 6 o'clock. They got 9 races, 5 mixed breeds, 4 quarter horses. Final race is going to be a derby for $44,000 at 400 yards. First post time, 6 o'clock at Los Al. All right. That's your racing menu. Now, I am sure that Jonathan Hardoon has a thought or two about the Preakness Stakes. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
Shell-shocked, tired, and boy, I'll tell you what. Yesterday was a day when you're trying to sell this great sport of kings. That race is the one to do it.
Well, it certainly was, and really terrific performance by Journalism. Watching the race, at no point did I think he was going to win. Honestly, down the backstretch, he started to drift back. Even around the turn, he just wasn't going anywhere. And once they made a sandwich out of him, well, I think it really pissed the horse off, and he just dug in. And it's amazing that he got up and won that race. It really was. And I was dead wrong. Three horses that ran 2 weeks ago on Saturday all came back to run very well in the Preakness. Goal Oriented, Journalism, and Sandman all showed up, and I was wrong. That's just my style of handicapping. I don't like playing those horses back, but they all ran well.
You were wrong in the approach that you wanted to find value, so you had to bet against Journalism, because we know he was 6-5 all the way through the betting for like 3-4 days. Wound up at even money. But you did attest to the fact that if Journalism did recover from the 2 weeks, he was the best horse in the race.
Yeah, there's no question. We knew going in he was the best horse. You know, listen, if you liked him, even money or whatever they gave you was really stealing, because, you know, he was just so much better than anyone else in that field. It seemed like 3 or 4 other riders were riding Journalism. It kind of reminded me of the Fleet Alex mishap, if you remember, when he was turning for home and he knocked off his feet. And but the amazing thing, Ralph, that no one went down, that everybody came out of that pile up really in good shape. You know, a horse could grab a quarter, a horse could get stepped on. So many things could have gone wrong, and thank God that they all survived it and came out well.
Well, I understand that one of the patrons at the Gold Coast, I mean Gold Coast, what am I thinking of, the South Point, one of the people at the South Point had gotten a text from somebody that was at the track that had reported to him, and this was the report that came to him, but I didn't see anything afterwards, that they thought that Journalism might have lost a shoe in the incident. But I didn't hear anything about that afterwards. So, you know, there's a lot of times that rumors fly. But in any case, I think what happened was when he got knocked around, he got like...
He pinned his ears and he said, I'm not taking this crap, and he's boom. All,
get out of the way and hang on, Umberto, because get out of the way. And he just, but you're right, once he cleared, everybody who had Journalism with, by the way, Gosker, who I loved, as a long shot in the
race. That exacto was so short, Ralph. Yeah. That exacto was a disgrace, honestly.
Yeah, and believe me, folks, I didn't bet that much money. I bet a very significant amount of money on the exacta. Yes, I did, but not that much to knock that thing down.
So. You were in CAW yesterday.
No, I wasn't CAW yesterday. But when he cleared the mishap so late in the stretch, that and with Gosker having a 3-length lead at the time, you thought to yourself, well, he's going to finish a solid second. He's not going to be able to catch that horse.
His momentum stopped. You don't get to stop and restart. Not in the middle of the stretch at the eighth pole or whatever it was, you know. So I don't know if Gosker came back to him or he exploded by him. But in any case, he got up, and that's all that counts.
Well, I don't think Gosker came back to him for one reason only, that Sandman appeared on the scene as part of this trio when Journalism was getting all jammed up. and he and the Sandman couldn't pass Gosker either. So
right,
you know it. It was a heck
but Gosker also had a really tough race, Ralph. He was battling from the get go.
Yeah, I loved the entire race.
He ran
at all the long shots in the race. I told you I've been doing it all. I told you all week that I loved his Lexington race. I really did.
Yeah.
All right. Anyhow, that's past stuff, you know, and you know, now we got to put that money to work today. But before we do, looking ahead to the Belmont Stakes at Saratoga, you think that one of the biggest fans that didn't make a bet but had a lot as far as interest in the race was Saratoga and the New York Racing Association.
They
really wanted him to win, and now they got that rubber match set up. But I can tell you one thing, Baeza is looming out there.
Yeah, there are other good ones sitting out there. And remember, Ralph, it's a mile and a quarter, not a mile and a half, so you may get more entries than you usually would get. It's going to be interesting to see if journalism can make it to run in all three of the big races. That would be quite an accomplishment.
All I know is the connections to journalism were just immense with the praise on the source, and rightfully so. But they said in unison, they said they're going to take all the time they need and all the time.
And rightfully so. They took all the time they needed for the Preakness, and they decided the day before, you know, they got 3 weeks now to think about it.
Yes. And let's hope that all the horses in the race, especially in that jam up, and I'm not only talking about journalism, but the other horses in the jam up, all came out best for the wear. Okay.
By the way, people are complaining about Pratt that he was race riding. That's all. You have a right to keep a guy in a box. You don't have to let him out.
No, you don't. You know? And that's exactly right. It was nothing but race riding.
Imagine if Eyelid Ortiz was on the horse Pratt was on. Yeah. They'd be calling for a lynching today.
Yeah. There was an inquiry in the race, and rightfully so, because after all, everybody saw that. And so the stewards did take an inquiry, but that thing was dismissed pretty early. So
I agree.
Anyhow.
The only horse that got mugged was the winner.
So. Yes, he did get mugged. Check your wallet. I think they got it, journalism. In any case, we move on to today, and just with great anticipation, and you know, we'll be catching up with the walk to the Belmont Stakes when we start next week. We do know that Sovereignty and both Baeza are back on the track working out in preparation for the Belmont, so we'll wait and see about that, and wait and see about the journalism. But it was a heck of a day of racing overall at Pimlico, and some of those unbelievable long shots that happened right in the middle of all those stacked up pick fives and those huge prices.
A little of something for everyone.
Yep.
So.
All right, so we move to today. Beautiful day in New York, right?
Absolutely gorgeous day today, Ralph. The nicest day they've had here in a couple of weeks. Let's look at the fourth race, 6.5 furlongs on the main track. I like the number 5 horse in here, Duke of Gulster. This is a 5-year-old gelding for the Mike Moore barn. Last couple of races were at Parks. However, he's got races, a few races back at Aqueduct that are good enough to get the job done here. Katie Davis takes the mount, 4-1 on the morning line. I like number 5, Duke of Colster, to win today's fourth race out of Belmont at Aqueduct.
I think it's Duke of Gloucester. Whatever.
All right.
Let's put the
5 horse.
The 5 horse, right. In the fourth race, number 5, folks. That's all you need to know. They don't ask you to spell or pronounce it when you're cashing at the window. So in the fourth race, the 5 horse, number 5 in the fourth, part of the early pick 5 and early pick 4 there at Aqueduct. Okay, next.
Let's go to Santa Anita. Look at race number 9, and you need a pick 6 single in today's pick 6. Well, here it is. I like the number 3 horse, Super Mazel. 7-year-old gelding who was claimed last time out by trainer Isidore Tamayo. Draw a line through that race, Ralph. He lost all chance at the start. With a clean getaway today, this horse should win. I like number 3, Super Mazel, to win today's 9th race out at Santa Anita.
All right, 9th race at Santa Anita, number 3, Super Mazel. Armando Ayuso riding. I think that this Ayuso kid is a pretty good rider.
Yeah, he won a couple of races a few days ago. He's doing real well.
He's a solid rider. And I know that... he has a knack for, taking horses to the front and getting them to get the job done. So in the ninth
By the
race,
way, what's good, about him, Ralph, is he's not in big barns. He doesn't ride for the Baffert's or the Mandelas, the McCarthy's, but he's still doing terrific.
So yes, he is. Solid rider. In ninth race, number three, Super Mazel, the three in the ninth race. I thought for sure you'd give me a Churchill pick.
No, we're done today.
All right. And apologies to all of you out there on X that saw our post today. I said we're going to get a Churchill pick, but we didn't get one from Jonathan, so we'll move on. Anyhow, you've done a yeoman's job all week, Jonathan. And by the way, when we went over the races yesterday at Pimlico, although your pick, your official kind of pick that tried to put some value in the Preakness didn't get there, you were right on the mark in several of the other races that we went over yesterday. So you did a good job, and we want to thank you so much for that. And you can now take a day of rest and then get back to work on Wednesday.
Thank you, Ralph. Stay safe and be well.
You got it, my man. All right. We have our next handicapper coming up, and, of course, that is Rich Eng, followed by Jerry J and John Lindo as well. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Here we are in Houston, opening up our first veteran village, this beautiful building that's going to house 161 homeless veterans. Any veteran that risked their lives and they're struggling with PTSD, mental illness, addiction. We're also building what I call comfort homes, 500 square foot homes. These are for older homeless veterans, so they have their own space and give them back some of their dignity, some of their independence, and most certainly give them back their life. Go to T2T.org to learn how you can change a veteran's life forever.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas's top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grand View Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grand View Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grand View Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our seven specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas. Time to go out to Rich Eng, standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
Well, I'll give you your thoughts about the Preakness.
Well, I know you're short on time. You had to get three of us in yep. in a few minutes, but it was a remarkable race. Journalism, I tell you what, he looked like Earl Campbell going through a tight hole in the middle of the line. He just bullied his way through.
Yeah.
I give Umberto Rispoli some credit. That was a courageous act. I know it could have been dangerous. The one horse took the worst of it. But, I echo one thing that Jonathan said. Could you imagine if Ira Ortiz was the jockey instead of Flavien Prat? Yeah. They'd probably still be yelling for him to get like a 6-month suspension or something like that for coming in. But just a terrific race, and we'll see who moves forward now onto the Belmont.
I will give a high five to the stewards at Pimlico. They did not make it a long inquiry. They took a look at it and decided and made a decision right away, and that was the right one, because journalism was definitely the one that got the worst of it, that's for sure. All right, yeah, we are short on time, so we'll have more with you on Wednesday, obviously, but you got a pick for us today after that winner yesterday?
I tell you what, let's go for a Sirocco play at Santa Anita in the ninth race, Ralph.
Okay.
It's a $5,000 claimer, and here Jonathan and I are going after the same race. I like the nine horse, Brother O'Brien. This horse was a second beaten by 10 lengths last time out, but the speed figure was so low. If you take a look at the speed figures this horse ran prior for Tim McKenna, this horse is much faster than that. I think Mullins can get this horse to go. The square price at 5-2. Let's go with the number 9, Brother O'Brien, to run an improved race in the ninth.
And gets the top jockey, Juan Hernandez, aboard in the ninth race, number 9. Easy to remember, 9 in the ninth. And with you and Jonathan, I have a Sirocco play, the exact box of 3993, but you are the 9 in the ninth. Don't forget, folks, Reggie's got a full sheet at Santa Anita ready to go right now at the racedaylasvegas.com websites. Reggie, we'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Hey, thanks, Rob. Good luck, everybody.
All right, we're going to take our final break as we take a look at the morning activities there on the racetrack, and then we'll be back, of course, with John Leno and Jerry J. So don't go away.
South Point is also proud to provide a variety of relaxing amenities for the guests who want to be pampered. Soak up the sun and let your stress melt away in our lagoon-style paradise swimming pool. A relaxing getaway where you can bask in the desert sun and enjoy seasonal food and bar service poolside. And if you really want to escape, come to Spa Costa del Sur. From couple suites to a co-ed wet area, our spa caters to business and leisure travelers who want to unwind and elevate their senses. A visit to one of our spa's steam, sauna, or whirlpool treatment rooms will leave any guest feeling like they can take on the world.
Sports by the book.
Sports by the book.
Sports by the book.
Sports by the book, South Point Studio.
This is the best sports betting network.
I would argue it is a total mismatch.
There's value with underdog prices in series.
I would lean to the under here.
My numbers are saying I got to bet the Tigers.
Two-way action.
When in doubt, we juice that favorite, that extra nickel.
Sports by the book, South Point Studio.
Forget about it. The best.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty, back on the Sunday Race Day Show to put a cap on an exciting weekend of racing. We go now to Southern California. John Lindo standing by. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. Anything interesting yesterday?
Yeah, a lot interesting yesterday, that's for sure. Hey, there's some money left on the table, though, at Santa Anita for a little bit of horse player action today with the carryover in the pick six. And I noticed a little note that I wanted to pass on real quick, and I understand that Del Mar is going to offer financial incentives to the Northern California horses when they run down there at Del Mar this year. That's a nice touch.
Right. The first condition book is out, and they're not going to write races solely restricted to horses that race in Northern California. They have several races where the Northern California horses that were based up there December 1 of last year will get first preference, but they are open races. So to try and get those guys to participate, they're going to give them a stipend for their first start and a purse bonus. You want those horses down here, but they've kind of got to wean them off of these no-cal restricted races so everybody can race.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I think they're fine-tuning some of the stuff that's going on there. But I will take a small... your impression of the Preakness, and then we can elaborate certainly on Wednesday. But I guess now, John, they can't say anything about journalism running against anemic fields in Southern California. He got the job done yesterday, and, you know, right in the middle of the ring, buddy.
Yeah, we talked about the handicapping factor, Ralph, in our Derby seminar about, you know, what's Rispoli going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And my fears were realized yesterday. You know, he saved all the ground around the first turn. He had all day on the backside to get into clear path with the best horse.
Mm-hmm.
Chose to go inside, and that horse had no chance to win after that incident, and he got up anyways. Super performance by the horse. Not so much, some poor decisions by the rider.
You know, I'd almost have to agree with you there, because the old saying was, Charlie Whittingham used to say, they asked him, if he give any instructions to his jockeys, and he used to always say, just ride him like the best horse. And maybe he didn't ride him quite as well as he thought was the best horse.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you got to save ground someplace in the race. But when he did around the first turn, now you have the option. If you have to get out and go outside, you can do it.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm sure that he was just trying to do the best for his horse. And I guess in the end, it worked out fine. But I think there's got to be a gut check on both of those things next time they run. Hopefully he'll recover and go under the Belmont Stakes for the rubber match. But like I said, Baeza's hanging out there, so watch that as well. But in the meantime, with 20 days to debate that until we get to the Belmont Stakes, we got a pick six carryover today at Santa Anita. The pick six will start in the fifth race with a 10-race card. John, you have your Linda report available right now for all the races, the suggested late pick four, and all the goody information here at the South Point, free of charge and only here at the South Point in this gaming capital because they love horse players here. Certainly did yesterday. It was a great day yesterday. I know next week the Lindell Report will pick up, I think, Churchill Downs.
We'll do Churchill on Thursday, and with the holiday Monday next weekend, we'll do Santa Anita Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
And we want to remind everybody out there that what we do normally on Memorial Day and Labor Day that are traditional Monday holidays, we will have a Monday Memorial Day Holiday Race Day Las Vegas show at a usual weekday start time of 7 a.m. next Monday. Not tomorrow, but next Monday on Memorial Day. Hey, let's get a pick.
Race number 6 at Santa Anita. I was really surprised by number 1 Regal Patriot last time, moving to the turf, showed speed I didn't know he had, and just basically ran horses off their feet, got claimed by Steve Knapp. If he shows that same speed back on the turf again today, then they'll never catch him. He's 7-2 in the program. If he runs two races alike, he's going to win again today. Race number 6, number 1 Regal Patriot.
All right, the sixth race, the one-horse Regal Patriot, John Lindell's pick for the race day listeners, the rest of the Lindell Report right now here at the South Point, free of charge. John, we'll let you go and enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday.
You got it, Ralph. Good luck today.
All right, you got it. Now we go to Jerry Jackwitz. Happy to see Jerry back with us today. Jerry, I gave out your play in the Preakness as Gossiger as the key horse with journalism, goal-oriented, and pay Billy. And you got Gossiger to get there in a big way. Journalism outperformed a miracle to beat Gossiger, but you got the exacta as a play there, your reverse play there at $16.90, but a nice call on Gossiger. And I was glad to see you made that call because I like that horse as a long shot as well. Good morning.
Great, yeah. And I think I also sent you that to press journalism over Gossiger overall. On your phone, but I don't know if you got that as well.
I didn't get that, but I got the your Gossiger.
Yeah, check your phone.
Yeah, I got Gossiger with the three. Well, you know, all you got to do is be with us, and I won't make any mistakes.
Well, you know, I had a sick dog, yeah. Ralph, so it kept me up all night long. So I can only do so much at this age.
All right.
So, anyway, I'm glad you got it out. That's great.
Yeah.
Great news.
And I will ask you for your opinion, because I know you'll probably watch the race and do some numbers on the Preakness before Wednesday. And I'll ask you on Wednesday your thoughts about the Preakness. But for today, we'll just get right to the picks, because you got a full power pages for both Santa Anita and Belmont at Aqueduct.
Yeah, my quick thought is that journalism is 5 or 10 lengths better than the horses he raced against yesterday.
No kidding, huh? All right.
Belmont, just a quick off the cuff.
Yeah, just a quick, okay.
Let's go to the third for our first play today, Ralph.
Third race at Belmont.
Yeah, let's see. Where is everything here today? We've got Gunnett, the sixth horse for Oscar Barrera III.
Mm-hmm.
He's been going actually pretty well. And this horse looks like he's really in nice form and actually looks like he's going to run to a better race today. I like the six an awful lot in the third. I'll take the six over the 1, 2, 3, 7. Do some reverses. I like that. Rosario is up. I always like when he's on a horse.
Yeah. Months. Now, the two, of course, it's an entry of 2 and 2B, and you'll take either one of those, right?
Sure.
Okay. So the six is the key, Gunnett, with Joel Rosario aboard. The six over one, the twos, three, and seven. Six over one, twos, three, and seven, and a reverse, obviously. And the six is your play in the third race, Belmont at Aqueduct, on finally a beautiful day out at Aqueduct. What about Santa Anita?
We're going to go to the sixth race. You're going to end up with a nice Sirocco play. I know you have a smile on your face.
Yeah, right. I do.
It's pretty cool. I like number 4, What Makes Sammy Run. It just seems to run every time for Mark Latt. It's just a good, hard-hitting horse.
Okay.
And Frasu up. Pursue him, get along well. I mean, everything's right here. I'll take the 4 over the 1, 3, 7. And I do want to mention that the 1, I know John liked the 1, is my second best rated horse, but they're almost identical, very close. So I really like an extra 4, 1, 1, 4 here.
Well, that's the Sirocco play, buddy. Your play is the 4 over 1, 3, 7 in reverse. But the Sirocco play that Jerry's going to bang again is the exacta box of 1, 4, 4, 1. Power pages for all of Santa Anita, all of Belmont at Aqueduct today, right now at jerryjspowerpage.com. It has been an unbelievable weekend of racing again. We want to thank everybody out there who came to the South Point and enjoyed the race day shows as well around the world. And we'll go tee it up and do it again next week. Until Wednesday, Jerry's got one more thing to say. Jerry.
Have a great race day, everybody.
It's Ralph Serrato at Race Day Las Vegas. Morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.com.